WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Roger Genver Smith's one-man show, A Huey P. Newton Story, has won 2 Obie Awards, the Helen Hayes Award, and 3 NAACP Awards. The show is about the co-founder of the Black Panther Party. Smith first became aware of Newton from the iconic poster in which Newton was seated in a chair with a spear in one hand and a rifle in the other. Smith presents a portrait of a complex man who went from preaching revolutionary politics to being shot to death in a drug deal. After performing the show in New York, Smith took it on the road. The Freedom Theater in Philadelphia is presenting his performance through May 23rd. Smith has appeared in several Spike Lee films, including School Days, Do the Right Thing, Get on the Bus, and He Got Game. He stars as the detective in Lee's forthcoming film about the serial killer Son of Sam. Smith also co-starred in the film Eve's Bayou. Let's start with an excerpt of A Huey P. Newton Story.
Testing 1-2? Testing 1-2, is this thing on? Okay. I'm terrified of a microphone stuck up in my face, disembodied voices coming into my headphones. I tell you the truth, I'm actually a rather... shy individual. I wouldn't consider myself to be very charismatic. I never really did anything hero-like. You know, I just worked on some little community programs. I do have a role to play. However, I'm a theorist of sorts. I work on theories, but I really do not enjoy discussing the details of my personal life, except as it relates to the movement. To tell you the truth, I hate interviews. I hate tape recorders, microphones stuck up in my face. Tell you the truth, I hate stages because they put you up on stage and they expect for you to entertain them. And I keep trying to tell people I'm not an entertainer. But I'll tell you a funny story, and then I think I'd like to get out of here because this is really like solitary confinement, sitting up in this radio studio. The day I came out of prison was a hot, sunny day. Sun was shining, so I took my shirt off. And a lot of people wanted to read like a grand gesture into that, like it was something significant. But really, it was just a little simple act. I'd been in solitary confinement for 3 years. I came out, sun was shining, so I took my shirt off. And then shortly thereafter, I received through the mail like a brochure from some Hollywood outfit, and they had some... You know, some little clippings in there, you know, with my picture on, with my shirt off, and they had a little letter attached to the clippings. And the letter from the Hollywood studio says something to the effect of, "Dear Mr. Newton, we feel that you are star quality." Something like that. You have star quality, something like that. It's funny, isn't it? Anyway, these Hollywood studios are a trip because they're in the business of creating fiction. But we in the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense are in the business of creating nonfiction. We're making a revolution coming soon to a cinema near you.
That was Roger Genver Smith performing an excerpt of his show, A Huey P. Newton Story. And Roger, thank you for performing that. It seems to me there's a lot of contradictions in Huey Newton's personality that you bring out in your performance. For example, in parts of the monologue, he sounds, you know, really kind of intelligent and interesting and like someone who has a sense of humor about himself and the world. And in other parts, he sounds really addled and very pretentious and confused. I don't know if you see it this way.
Well, no, I don't see it that way because I'm not in the audience. I'm playing the character, okay. And I have to commit to the brilliance and I have to commit to the confusion.
Uh-huh.
And I don't step outside of Huey and look at him. I try to be him, play him in the moment. Now, as a playwright, as someone who has put this material together, yes, of course, I recognize the contradictions which are inherent in Huey's personality, and I think that this is what makes for effective drama. Huey, in a sense, has been my Hamlet. He is a man who, with Bobby Seale, organized a highly disciplined, internationally influential political group as a very young man. But as an older man, he became addicted to various forms of cocaine and lost his life, in fact, in front of a crack cocaine house on the Oakland streets, the same Oakland streets where he and Bobby Seale had co-founded the party in 1966.
You portray Huey Newton, and as we heard, with a kind of high-pitched, very tentative-sounding voice. There's a lot of nervous tics in his body when you portray him. Your legs are always just kind of jittering back and forth. Where did you listen to recordings of his voice and see him? Where do those physical embodiments come from?
Well, they come from a study of Huey through videotape and listening to Huey through audio tape as well. But people know Huey as that one-dimensional poster, and they are rather startled to hear this voice coming out of him, Louisiana drawl, high-pitched, tentative, as you say. He was not really comfortable as a public speaker. He was more comfortable as someone who was engaged in serious poetic, philosophical dialogue. He was not the great public presence, as were many of his peers, Bobby Seale, of course, Eldridge Cleaver, Kathleen Cleaver, Angela Davis, Jerry Rubin, Abby Hoffman, H-Rap Brown, Stokely Carmichael. All of these people were dynamic public personalities, and Huey was not. In fact, when he came out of prison in 1970 and went on a college speaking tour, he said that it was one of the worst experiences of his life. Many people booed him. Many people walked out on him because he was not the political poster come to life.
He was someone who talked like this.
Right. You grew up in the Los Angeles area. Huey Newton was from Oakland, and it was in Oakland that he co-founded the Panthers. And I'm wondering what image you had of him when you were growing up, and what he kind of represented to you politically, and if you felt when you were young that you needed some revolution in your life.
My parents came to California for the same reasons that Huey Newton's parents came to California, to seek the opportunity that they were denied in a racist, segregated South. So in terms of revolution, which means change, as Huey continues to remind us, we were both engaged in the same revolution because we were first-generation Californians whose parents had raised us in California so that we might have opportunities that were denied them. In terms of Huey's parents in Louisiana and in Arkansas, in terms of my parents in Virginia and South Carolina. Huey as an image for me, as I said, was primarily one-dimensional, someone who was in a poster, someone whose picture was printed on the Black Panther paper. And as the years went on, I heard less and less of Huey. He, of course, was in exile in Cuba for 3 years during the 1970s, lived a rather low-key life throughout the 1980s, earned a PhD at the University of California at Santa Cruz. And I heard a variety of news blurbs throughout the 1980s, Huey receives PhD, Huey arrested in bar brawl, Huey indicted for embezzling funds from the Panther School. So it was that kind of strange jigsaw puzzle that I wanted to put together in doing this piece.
Now, I know when you were young, I guess this was probably a pretty formative experience for you. You traveled with the actor William Marshall and the Society for Black Heritage Drama. And William Marshall, in addition to, you know, his many theater roles was also Blackula and the King of Cartoons for a while on Pee-wee's Playhouse. What kind of works did you perform?
Well, we did Aimé Césaire's great piece on King Christophe of Haiti, dealing with the Haitian Revolution. We would also perform an assortment of poems. We toured with the late, great Horace Tapp Scott's Pan-African People's Orchestra. We went typically to churches, to schools, to community centers. It was there that I first really was engaged in theater as a form of cultural expression, as an antidote, as it were, to those roles which we did not feel were enlightening, which were in fact demeaning, engaged in great literature, in great poetry. And I was very fortunate to have worked with Mr. Marshall, who's a wonderful artist who I'm sure could have done much, much more with his career had he been willing to make a fool of himself.
It must have been pretty exciting as a teenager to tour with a group that was both rooted in classic theater and in the avant-garde at the same time.
Well, I've been doing that throughout, and as I said, that was really the beginning of that mm-hmm. way of working.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked traditional theater at the Guthrie. I've worked with avant-garde troupes such as Mabu Mines here in New York City. So I've always dug into a great variety of work, from, you know, Spike Lee films to my independent stage to All My Children, in which I played Miles Christopher for a season or so.
What was Miles Christopher like?
Miles Christopher was a very mysterious character, and he was involved with a character by the name of Belinda Kiefer. And they had a very hot relationship.
Right. My guest is Roger Genver Smith. He's currently performing his one-man show, A Huey P. Newton Story, in Philadelphia. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Roger Genver Smith. He's won several awards for his one-man show, A Huey P. Newton Story, and he's appeared in several Spike Lee films. We've talked a little bit about your Huey P. Newton show, which you've been performing for a couple of years. You have a new movie coming out, I think this summer, directed by Spike Lee, and it's his movie about the Son of Sam murders. And I believe you play the detective who's tracking down the Son of Sam, and the movie's called Summer of Sam. Tell us a little bit about your role in this forthcoming film.
Well, I play a detective named Kurt Atwater, who is tracking down the Son of Sam, a man who has been terrorizing the streets of New York City for more than a year in the summer of 1977.
I guess for any of our listeners who don't know him, he was a serial killer who thought that, you know, God was telling him to go out and kill people. God or his dog, actually. I forget which it was.
Actually, he claimed that his neighbor's dog told him to kill any number of people, which he did. Quite tragically.
You've been working with Spike Lee for years. I mean, dating back to Do the Right Thing, in which you played Smiley, the guy who stutters. How did you first start working with Spike Lee?
Well, I started working with Spike Lee more than 10 years ago. We did a film called School Days. I auditioned for him for that, and I played a fraternity pledge at a fictitious Southern college. I went on to do the Right Thing with Spike. I played a character by the name of Smiley. Smiley was not scripted in Spike's screenplay, but he encouraged me to make a contribution to the piece, and that I did, playing a young man who was walking up and down the street in Bedford-Stuyvesant, attempting to sell personally colorized photographs of Malcolm X shaking hands with Martin Luther King. Smiley eventually burned the pizza parlor down on the block and put the picture of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X on the burned pizza parlor wall. He became kind of a moral spine for the piece.
Gee, how'd you go from a part that wasn't scripted to the character who actually burns down the pizza parlor, which is like the pivotal part of the climax?
Well, that's the beauty of improvisation. And that's the kind of working relationship that Spike and I have continued to have to this day.
Does this mean that Spike Lee didn't know the pizza parlor was going to burn down when the
No, the pizza parlor was going to be burned down in the original screenplay, but we didn't know who was going to light the match, and it turned out that Smiley was the person who lit the match.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Roger Genver Smith, and the one-man show that he does is called A Huey P. Newton Story. Now, I believe that your parents owned a motel for a while. Do I have that right?
That's right.
What's the story behind the motel? How they decided to open it?
Well, my parents came initially to Los Angeles in the early 1950s, and they wanted to rent a motel room, and they were denied the opportunity to rent the room because they were seen as a quote-unquote mixed couple, my father being darker than I, my mother being more fair than I. They assumed that my mother was a white woman, and my father was obviously a black man, and they were denied accommodation. They did not know that my mother was a black woman, and they did not know that my father was a lawyer and would sue them, because that is how he had been making his living in the early 1950s, by suing places that would not accommodate black and Latino people in California. So they sued successfully, took the money, and built their own motel.
Where did they build it?
In Los Angeles.
And did you...
About three blocks away from the original motel that denied them accommodation. They actually took business away from them.
So did your parents become professional motel keepers after that, or did they hire other people to do it and your father continued with his law practice?
My father's law office was included within the building, which included the motel. My mother practiced dentistry in the same building.
Huh. This must have taught you an incredible lesson about being turned down. I mean, it's just an incredible story of how they took this insult and created something out of it, created something really constructive as a result of it.
Yeah. And it taught me how to work a switchboard and to sweep cigarette butts off of a
How about room service?
And do room service and change sheets and all that.
Did you live in the motel a lot or just work there?
Actually, I did live there for a while because I was doing the night shift as a teenager.
What was that like?
Quite an education.
I always think it's so interesting for people who grow up in part in a hotel or a motel.
It was quite educational, let me just put it that way. And there were some great people who stayed there. Mungo Santa Maria stayed there. Dr. Martin Luther King passed through. Some wonderful people, some crazy people came through as well. Maybe that'll be my next play.
Roger Genver Smith is performing his show, A Huey P. Newton Story, in Philadelphia through May 23rd. This is Fresh Air.